If you're like us in our mid to late 20s, you probably grew up in an interesting time of social media. There's the initial coupling of hesitation and curiosity of what it's like to put yourself out there on the internet. And at one point, social media culture emphasized oversharing, if you remember, Facebook photo dumps, big life updates being shared across your network, tagging everyone else possible to show your relevancy.
Yes, those were all such big parts of my life in middle school, high school, and college to some extent. And this idea of having so much access to so many people in just an instant, it got really different reactions from different people. Many of us maybe had parents who were very worried about our safety and just couldn't understand why we would share so many personal details online and begin a journey in content creation.
But with the pandemic and a search to connect even more quickly and deeply with folks, platforms like TikTok and BeReal have really taken off. There was even a surge of podcasts and YouTube channels being created since 2020, and we could very well be categorized as one of those podcasts as we found more time on our hands to brainstorm, plan, and generate content for you all. We've been fairly open about a lot of details of our lives, ranging from growing pains in the workplace, traumatic moments in our adolescence, and to even our familial and romantic relationships.
And as we've been sharing these stories for the last 4 years, we are getting older and learning and unlearning what is valuable to share with the world versus things that we prefer just to keep to our friends, maybe even just to ourselves. And we are still observing how content creators today choose to share which bits and pieces of their lives to share. So let's talk about it: content creation and privacy. Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass.
Our guest is a familiar voice to you all. She's been a teacher and a YouTuber, and since our last chat with her, she's been thriving on TikTok with her late night lives where she swoons you to sleep with her covers, as well as relocated to España to be a teacher there. So welcome back to the podcast, Irene. We're so happy to have you. How has the adjustment to Spain been so far?
I miss being your roommate. And the adjustment's been great. I think the only thing that I still am getting used to is the late lunch. Oh. I cheat every day. People will be like, do you want to get lunch at 3? And I'm like, sure. Oh. And then I'll eat alone at 12 and then eat again at 3. Oh. Yeah, some other things that have been a little bit of a shock, but now that I'm accustomed to, are walking. Where I live is quite hilly. And so 25 minutes actually feels quite a bit longer and more strenuous. But 25 minutes is pretty standard to get anywhere, I think.
Oh my gosh.
So that's one thing. And another would just be that everything closes between 2 and about 5:30 or 6. So just planning my daily activities around that gap.
It's a gap for people to relax and have lunch together.
Yes. And on Sunday, almost everything is closed the whole day.
Whoa. Wow. Yes. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. It's so fun to hear these little learnings that you're having in this new country. I hope you're getting to document that and share that with your TikTok followers. But for more context for our listeners, if you haven't been following Reni Seco, while she was still living with me in LA, she actually surpassed 100K followers, which means there are 100K people watching her TikToks, watching her monthly vlogs that she would do on IG Reels, and also 100K people who tune into her lives. And I'm sure, how does that feel, Irene, to think about 100K people, even more than that now since we last saw each other?
I don't even know what that looks like, to be honest. Some people, right, if they tend to go to stadiums a lot, they're aware of what a certain quantity of people looks like. Me not being a sports ball person, me not going to too many live concerts and things, I actually don't quite even know what that number of people would look like.
What kind of feelings does that bring up for you?
It's interesting. Actually, this morning I was talking about how on the one hand, I can be very focused on growth where, I mean, I do check my numbers. I look at that number and it can feel very exciting when it goes up, and it can feel like, am I doing something wrong if it goes down? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it means absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just a number. It's a big number and people have a certain reaction to it. But I think maybe because I can't imagine what it would be like to actually be in front of that many people, I've never been recognized by anyone. So it's interesting, you know. I don't really quite have a concept of it.
As we've been doing podcasting and you've been doing YouTube and TikTok, Irene, we're all in the similar boat of creating content, letting people into our lives to some extent. And I think a big question that often comes up for a lot of content creators is like, how much do we share? How much do we want to let people in? Because I think there was this time of YouTube, for example, where it was a really great thing to show a lot of vulnerability, show a lot of lows, and not just show highlight reels. And that's a big criticism that a lot of people had of social media, especially like in 2015, of creating this curated feed of highest highs that people would compare themselves to and whatnot. And I think that really delves into privacy as well, because we don't live in a vacuum. I know you do your lives at home, Irene, but outside of home, like, you have friends, you have communities, you have family. And so I think this topic of privacy with relation to content creation is really, really fascinating. So I would love to get into that. I think there's like a couple of different types of privacy. I'm curious which kind of privacy either you are the most concerned about or you've changed your mind on the most.
As I was contemplating, you know, today's conversation, I realized that so many things have happened kind of organically without my having planned those things. So, for example, when I started my YouTube channel, right, that was the first thing, and later the Instagram, and then finally on TikTok, I only planned on going by Rennie. I never intended to share my full name. Yeah, and organically, you know, on TikTok, there's a lot of rambling going on, and I don't think of myself as Rennie, and
so like a stage name, yeah,
right. And so I would talk to myself, and I'd be like, "Oh, well, Irene, blah blah blah." And so I just said my own name, and from there, I was like, "Well, is it really so bad?" And you know, the thing evolved from there.
Mm-hmm. So when you originally created that name Rennie, was it for privacy reasons or kind of
like a breaking out of your persona or shell or whatever? Yeah.
I made Rennie Set Go because that was kind of the best thing I could come up with as a catchy play on my name. Mm. But I plan to go by Rennie for privacy. And I think if you look at my YouTube channel or if you email me still, it only comes up as Rennie K.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did you realize that you started using your real name in videos or in lives?
I think I realized how much I'd been calling myself Irene when people started commenting, "Wait, so should I call you Rennie or Irene?" That started happening in the chat, and I realized, oh, I've been referring to myself as Irene, but my name on everything is Rennie. And I think I went back, actually, and now if you go to my TikTok profile, it says Irene.
Got it. That's interesting. I think a lot of people have made similar decisions because they don't want it. It's like kind of tied to privacy, but they don't want people who know them in real life to find them easily on TikTok because they're just like, "Ooh, this is like a different persona. I don't want people to find me." For you, was it more of like a privacy and safety thing, or was it more of privacy, like you don't want people you know in real life to find you easily?
I don't think there is anyone in my life who I don't want to find me. But it's funny how privacy is a two-way street with regards to TikTok, in that when I'm talking to folks on TikTok, I am aware of what I'm sharing and what I'm not sharing of my normal Irene life, non-TikTok Irene life. And I also don't tend to bring up TikTok when I meet people.
I see.
In my non-TikTok life, I don't like to bring up that I have this TikTok or that I have this following. Not just because it feels like bragging, or not just because it seems like a weird thing to bring up right away. But also because of privacy, where it kind of feels like, what am I inviting, or what am I trying to propose by bringing that up right away with someone? Whether or not they're also a content creator, right? I am kind of aware sometimes, like, if I bring up my TikTok, will this other person feel like I want them on it? Will they feel obligated? Like
the transactional relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or will they feel like intimidated by meeting up with me, because maybe I'm one of those people who will be filming them all the time and taking out my phone and taking pictures of everything. And so I kind of like to gauge the vibe first. Because if it seems like they're very camera shy and they wouldn't be comfortable with it, I don't even want to bring up that I'm on TikTok, because maybe they would feel like they're getting in the way of me filming things that I would want to film or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have two follow-up questions for you. One being, while you were in LA and you didn't have another job that you were doing, when people would ask you what you did then, what would you say?
I said I am a content creator. I was very vague. I don't know if you remember commenting this to me then.
I don't remember.
I'd say I'm a content creator. And they'd be like, so what content do you make? And it was really kind of like pulling teeth. And I think I was being deliberately vague, because I also was not sure. As my TikTok grew, it kind of became obvious that that is what I would be running with or dedicating more attention to. But I don't think I had fully let go of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel quite as comfortable about TikTok as I did with YouTube, even as a consumer then. And so people would ask me what kind of content. And I felt like if I said it, then I was
committing,
picking one. Yeah, I was making a commitment one way or another. And I hadn't fully let go of YouTube, which I kind of feel like I have a little bit now. I just realized my personal creative cycle is very small and very fast. And YouTube videos are kind of longer.
Not as sustainable.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were the connotations that came up for you? Like, if you were to say, I think of myself as a YouTuber versus a TikToker, like, what different connotations or like aspects of identity or commitment did you associate with each platform?
I think
we should also answer this question, Sophia, like if we have connotations.
I want to know what you think about this as well. I think my Asianness comes into this. As a Korean American person, for me to tell somebody I'm on YouTube, I almost feel like they would assume they were vlogs, which would be correct, right? My content is vlogs, but I almost felt like if I just said, oh, I'm on YouTube, people would immediately go to vlogs, because there are a lot of Korean American female vloggers.
To me, YouTube, when I think of someone who's on both YouTube and TikTok, I would think, oh, YouTube is for the longer, more polished, highly edited content, whereas TikTok is more like in the moment, you record it and upload it right away. You don't have to edit it a ton. So those are the two kind of like connotations for me.
Okay. I'll say the not so nice things about not so great connotations about YouTube and TikTok. I think TikTok could be seen as a place to chase clout, because you are very easy. It's very much easier to grow on TikTok compared to YouTube. And YouTube is more of the polish, but also could be more of the boring stuff on YouTube. Those are, I think, the more negative connotations of the two that I can think of.
Yeah.
Something that I know about you, Irene, is that you did not have social media until senior year of high school. She was, which is funny because I don't know why my brain thought this way, but it was like, oh, the more popular you are at school, the likelier you would have a Facebook or an Instagram or whatever, right? And it was always surprising to me when I'd be like, oh my God, I can't tag Irene in this photo because she's not on Facebook. And so I'm curious what your perception of social media was growing up, especially maybe watching peers and friends have social media presences and you not being able to have one until senior year of high school.
Yeah, it was definitely something I was like itching to be on. Yeah. I really, really was. And one time, I don't think I've ever told you this, I thought I was being really slick. And I did make, I forget what I made, an account on something that I wasn't supposed to have. Oh, I didn't even have Gmail, fun fact, until I was.
What?
Yeah, I think like a freshman in high school or a sophomore.
Mm.
Because my parents didn't want me on GChat.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. I wasn't on AIM. I wasn't on GChat.
Oh my God, legally. AIM.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't on. No, definitely. I was never on Ubu. I never. Because by the time it was like here, it had like gone by the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and it was
like,
Skype you know? Then. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was completely off of those things. So I was just itching to be on it.
I'm sure that's something that so many younger people can't even fathom right now. Because, like, what age are these kids having social media at? Like middle 12, school, if not 11, elementary school.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, okay, let's unpack this itch. Was it, like, this itch to, like, be relevant with people? Was it this itch to, like, get to share all these things about yourself, about your life, or?
It's funny, though. Man, I don't even remember, really. Oh, I didn't have text messaging either.
She didn't have a lot of things in high school.
I didn't have a lot of things.
Irene is just so cool in real life. She doesn't need any of this to be relevant. She's just top of mind for everyone. Yeah. She just shows up with her like amazing outfits and people are like, yeah, that's Irene.
Yeah. I know you're saying this as like a, you know, a gas her up moment, Sophia, but that was really true. That was actually very true in high school. Everyone wanted to be in Irene's circle in high school, I feel like.
Oh, that's not how I remember it. I feel very cringe.
But I think that, I don't know, that gravitas you had in high school, I think also translates really well online, because I think a lot of people, they aren't just attracted to, you know, like the content you offer, but they're also attracted to your personality and just the vibes that you give off. Like James is always like, I follow people or go to Disneyland for the vibes, not to go on the rides or anything, you know? People are just there for the vibes that you offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vibes are good. I like to say that what I do on TikTok is mostly about the vibes. Also because if I say it's about just the music, then that doesn't feel very authentic. And also that puts a lot of pressure on the music.
Mm-hmm. And it also like insinuates that you like maybe make original music, that you are a regular performer, and you're like, it's really just me in the corner of my room playing quietly so my roommate doesn't wake up kind of steal.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So we've talked about privacy in terms of your name and identity. And now that you bring up roommates and, you know, living together, what kinds of considerations did you have around your living space and location?
The second great battle of privacy, right, beyond the name, was location. A lot of people want to know where I'm from or where I currently reside, in the sense that it's interesting. I speak Korean, I speak English, I speak Spanish. Sometimes I was in Mexico, so they would want to know, like, where are you right now? But yeah, there are these questions of where are you from? Where do you currently reside? Where are you now? That I didn't quite know how to answer, especially because I have a roommate and because I want to be sure that whatever I share feels okay with her too.
That was really fascinating. I think at first you started off by saying, I live in the United States of America, the broadest thing you could possibly say. Yeah. And then I think at one point I started noticing your followers answering those questions for you, and people were saying like, oh, she lives in California, or like she lives in LA. And I was like, oh, I guess it just slowly narrowed down. And I'm curious how that narrowed down, if it was like a slip of the mouth of you like mentioning those things, or how, I guess how that caught on from you initially saying, I live in America.
Yeah, at first I was saying, I live in America. Then I started sharing, well, the live will be at this time Pacific. So it was like, okay, that narrowed it down to California, Oregon, Washington, right? So then it's okay, we're talking about West Coast times. Then it was like, okay, you know what? California is a large, large state. Maybe I can afford to say California. So I said California. And then finally, I forget why. At some point, it got to Los Angeles. And I was like, you know what? There are a couple million people here. I think I can say Los Angeles as well.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of days after I said Los Angeles where I was like, I wish I could take that back. I don't feel good about that just because it felt like it had been narrowed down so much more
so quickly,
from California. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of your TikTok experience, because people will immediately notice that your background is different when you go on a live and you're traveling somewhere, right? Like, let's say you were in Mexico, they'll see that you're not in your usual aesthetic space with your lightning bolt light and everything. And so they'll immediately catch on and want to know where you are. Versus for podcasting, I feel like we've been able to get away with just saying, like, Sophia's based in Seattle, Tan's based in New York or LA. And whenever, like, I'm in Korea, for example, and I record, we don't have to talk about that I'm in Korea, because what is going to sound different about this voice? You know, like, that there's nothing different that people will notice about it unless I offer up that information with regards to maybe the relevancy of the topic at hand that we're talking about.
At what point did you two discuss what, like, how you describe your setup? Because I'm sure you mentioned, like, what did you initially, did you decide, was there a point where you didn't even want to mention that you had a roommate, or like, when did the fact that you had a roommate come up?
Oh, the roommate was always in the picture. The roommate was always the secret upstairs person who I might wake up.
Yes, I see. The funny thing is, I pretty much never showed my face on her lives, but if people were, you know, like, diehard fans, they could find me in her vlogs. And so it wasn't like she was hiding me necessarily. But I don't know, something, like, even for me, something about TikTok live and just there being people in real time watching and seeing my face definitely scared me more than, you know, seeing a video that's come out that was filmed months ago, you know?
Right, right. And vlogs are for, like, the true fans. Like, you're watching that vlog, catching all the details. Yeah, that's interesting.
So Talon and I had our first, like, explicit conversation, I think, like, about how comfortable we felt about sharing address or location when I started contemplating getting a P.O. box. People were offering to send me candles. People were offering to send me things for my life. And so I started to look into it. And Talon, do you want to tell it?
Okay, so I remember Irene telling me that she wanted to look into a P.O. box, and I've never looked into a P.O. box, so I don't know what the process looks like, but basically she was kind of like, I'm choosing between these two. One is closer, that's walkable, and one is a place that I would have to drive, like, at least 10 minutes away. And my immediate reaction was, just because getting the mail is such a chore for me already, and I was like, I don't know, if these are things that you really want, and you want that to be accessible, why not just pick the one that's walkable? And Irene and my boyfriend were both like, no, or I think she should pick the one farther away, because what if people follow her to some extent? What if people recognize her because she's getting more and more of a following? Because I think at this point it was probably like, I don't know, like 50K, 60K. And so it was like growing pretty rapidly at that time. And I don't think the number had at least fully hit me as your roommate. I think I was like, oh, wow, like, so fun. Like, so many people are watching, but I didn't really think about the logistical safety implications of that and how that would come into. I just kind of thought if it wasn't in the apartment building, it was fine, was my thought process. But you can explain why you were so unsure about doing one closer.
Yes, I am in general very a stickler about security. My parents, okay, this is just like a random fact, my parents love the show Forensic Files, and it's this show where each episode has to do with like a criminal case, and most of the time it's about security related issues, right? Being followed, or like, you know, having somebody figure out some information. And so I think I am very, 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 very concerned about that aspect. And so when I was thinking about that P.O. box, I mean, obviously it's convenient to have one that's closer by, but James and I think we were both thinking, what if I walk there, somebody sees me, and then my house is right there. They just see me going into the building, you know? And I wanted to be super sensitive in case Tan also felt that way, right? I wanted to have that conversation with her, offer that up, because I know for a fact if it was the other way around and Tan was the famous one and she was just going right around the block and getting her mail and being famous and coming right back and somebody, I don't know if I would feel safe, right? Mm-hmm. So I would want to have that conversation with her, you know, no matter who it is that's getting the PO mm-hmm. box. Yeah. Yeah, so really protecting and adding like an extra layer of security there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had an Amazon wish list where people could see things that you wanted. And I, if I remember correctly, that would get delivered directly to our place. So what did you look into to make sure that you were okay with that option?
Before I shared the link to my Amazon wish list, I had some close friends test the link and try to add things to their basket and send them to me without actually purchasing them, but just to see how much of our address you could see. And what I was surprised to find is that they do include the city. They just say the city. So it would say Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine if you're in a big city, but if you lived, you know, in a suburb place, I don't know. Yeah.
Right. So that's like a lasting question I have where I wonder why it shows the city. I just want to know why that even is necessary. I had already shared that we were in Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah. But now so, people, theoretically, people could have found out that you lived in Los Angeles if you didn't give out that information on your TikTok Live.
Yeah. Right. So I just kind of wonder why that's there. The funny thing right now is that I have never shared the city where I live, I believe, on my TikTok right now in Spain. Mm-hmm. So coming here has actually reset it. People are like, where are you moving? I said Spain. So I started off with the country again.
Right.
Then they're like, where in Spain? And I'm like, in the south of Spain, in Andalusia, right? Mm-hmm. I've never said the municipality or the city. Mm-hmm. But now that I have my Amazon wish list, I mean, that's out there again, yeah. I guess.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And okay. I think for a lot of followers, fans, they want something to have a deeper reason to connect to you. So asking about your location is like very benign and like a very like, you know, excitement driven thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's like such a good thing for me to pay attention to, where it's like, hey, if I'm asking certain things in our creators live, what am I obligating them to share things that they don't feel comfortable sharing, even though for me it's so innocent. For me it's just like, I'm excited and I want to like find something I have in common with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. absolutely. And I think that's the thing, you know, at any given moment there are a couple hundred people, and whereas I may want to answer this one person because maybe we've interacted or I've seen them around and I've like checked out their vibe and I know they're cool. I don't know who else is there. Some people are there the whole time and they never comment.
Yeah.
We talked about privacy with relation to your roommate, but there's also privacy with relation to your family, your friends, and your significant other. Because even if your TikTok doesn't only features you, you do have YouTube and Instagram, where you, especially with your monthly reels that you used to do, you would feature a lot of different people who were in your life. And you've actually also done some collabs of TikTok lives with some good friends who are also musicians who you want to kind of like uplift. And so let's start with those people, like those musicians who you've been so eager to support and collaborate with. How did privacy play a part into those conversations that you would have with them?
Before the TikTok live, I remember most of my friends were quite nervous about coming on there, just because live isn't something they do too much. A lot of them will do live shows, but not TikTok live or Twitch or things like that. And so they were kind of like, I am concerned. What should I say? What should I not say? And I was like, well, you can share where you're from if you want, but I wouldn't say where. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can say like where-ish, and I think that's my policy. And yeah. I would say, oh, also please don't say like what we did exactly today, or like if we went to this one place, I'd be like, hey, let's not say we went there because it's too close to our house. So there was always kind of like a debrief before the live to make sure that, to let them know that people will ask you things, and this is how I've dealt with it.
Yeah.
And also people will ask me things and I'm planning on saying this, and I would appreciate if we could just be on the same page about that.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. What about people who've been featured in your vlogs, like friends and significant others? Like, have, I don't know if you've had similar concerns about privacy around that, given that your audience is more on TikTok rather than YouTube, but I'm kind of curious.
Yes. So this is interesting. In some of my vlogs, if you go to the description, I asked my friends if they would like me to include their Instagram handle. Mm. I do have some friends who are featured in my vlogs who are artists or who have, like, you know, an Etsy or something, you know, that they want to feature. And so I sent out some group texts saying, hey, remember the day we went to this day while I'm editing that vlog? Do you want me to put your Instagram handle in the description, or would you rather maintain your mystery? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a mixed bag. Some people wanted to maintain the mystery. I think somebody responded, one of my friends responded, I would like to be the mysterious hottie in your vlogs. So that person's handle is not there. And other people,
it's just, yeah, mysterious just hottie is the Instagram handle.
Wink, wink. Yeah. Yes. Mysterious hottie. Mm. So I always ask if I want to put somebody's photo, if I want to put somebody's Instagram handle. And I think actually, this is interesting, maybe a blind spot for me going forward is assuming that if the other person is a content creator, that they want to be linked.
Mm.
Most of my friends are not content creators. And so I asked, you know, because they only have the one account.
Mm-hmm.
They're personal. Mm-hmm. But for those who are, I think my assumption would be like, oh yeah, like it's good for you, you know, mm-hmm. and I would be more likely to put it down without asking.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's maybe something I need to think
That's
about.
That's a good reflection. Yeah.
Yeah. I vlogged a trip that I took from LA to the Bay. My car was full of boxes because I was moving things gradually back home. And in the front seat, as I was vlogging, I had a gift that Pan sent, was sending via me to her friend.
Oh.
And her address was written on the bag. I didn't see it. I vlogged the whole thing. And then I realized it. And so later, when I was editing the vlog, I censored that whole area. Like, a very big chunk of the vlog is censored. The vlog isn't public, though. It's a Patreon vlog, a monthly vlog. Okay. So it's going to relatively few people, but it's completely censored. No worries. Mm-hmm. For that friend's privacy. And there was just this whole thing of, like, oh my gosh, like, should I even upload it censored?
Mm-hmm.
I have this, like, very paranoid brain where I'm like, are there ways for people to, like, edit and post and take off the filters that I put on, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's so fair.
Because you see those, like, I've seen these TikTok videos where people are like, if you send a photo using your iPhone, people can download that photo and see the metadata. Like, they can see, like, where it was taken, when it was taken, what kind of phone you took it with. And so sometimes it's safer if I want to send a photo to someone who I don't really trust, I take a screenshot of that photo, so all the metadata is associated with the screenshot and not the original photo. Like, I mean, Irene, that's like something I didn't know. And I don't know if the same thing can be, like, reversed with video. So I think it's really good you're cautious of that. And I think I just want to say, like, as someone who's visited you, I, like, really appreciate that you care so much about protecting your friends. I think it's very considerate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that affirmation.
Yeah.
Mm. My boyfriend had a public Instagram, actually probably until I hit like a couple thousand on TikTok.
Mm.
And at some point I asked him to private his account. Why is that? I already had some posts with him tagged in them, and he would appear in my stories often, and I had him tagged in those. And people were following him. Actually, I had been thinking about that before as well, because after I quit my teaching job, my students started to follow him.
Wow.
I didn't know how I felt about that.
Yeah. Because we've also talked a lot about how you felt about the kind of content you were putting out. And even just, like, you know, one clip of you swearing, for example, like you were like, I don't know, do I want students to see that? Like, what if that, you know, changes how they view me, or even their parents, how they view me, even though you're not a teacher anymore. You were very concerned about, I guess, kind of like protecting their image of you too. Yeah. And it felt kind of like if too much was getting out there, they were also going ahead and following your boyfriend.
Right. I was so concerned about being a role model in like every way. I do love my students so much. And I, you know, I wanted them to have a good image of me, an image of me as a person who, you know, doesn't do the things you're not supposed to do when you're a middle schooler. I don't say words, certain words, you know, and whatnot. But I think I surpassed that actually with some of Talon's help. Actually, with your help as well, Sophia, I think I've mentioned that on a video call that we were all on one time. But anyway, the point is I asked Alfredo to private his account, not only because of that, but because that's his personal account. He doesn't have a separate account, right? And I think there's a difference between having people you don't know follow your personal account versus people you don't know following a business account where their message requests might be filtered, right? And another thing that I'm aware of that you might also do, I don't know, I upload stories later, especially if there's a geotag. I upload them once I'm no longer in that place, right? Whereas a lot of people who don't do what I do don't have that same practice.
Consideration.
And so he might tag me and upload something, or and we might still be there, right? So I kind of wanted to create that extra layer of precaution. And he obliged. At first he was like, why? Not why I don't want to, but I just need to know why you're asking me this.
Was there a particular or like strong reason his profile was public beforehand?
I don't know.
I think by default, profiles are public.
Yeah, it was probably just like a never needed to think twice about it, because there's not like tons of traffic coming in and out of the profile necessarily as like, you know, an everyday person.
Han, have you ever had that discussion with James about what he does on social media, or like when he posts, what he posts, what he says?
No, because at one point I was basically his social media manager, and the posts that he posts were actually me posting on behalf of him. but I mean, we've had, I think that goes into maybe podcasting of like, what do we share about our significant others on the podcast? Because I would say I am more of the content creator than he is. If he were to do content, he would be playing games or like streaming on Twitch type of thing. So it's not really about the people or the in his everyday life and personal relationships, versus for me, it's a lot about personal relationships and friendships and relationships and whatnot. And so it has been, especially when, you know, like, just because I want to share, you know, my lowest of lows and like my vulnerable moments does not mean like I have the permission to share moments that he's really vulnerable, even if that gave me a lot to think about and also made me reflect on my own vulnerability and lowest of lows. And so I think there's definitely been a lot of adjustments with that as I've been getting older and also have been more okay and happy to keep things to myself and between me and him. And so those weren't ever explicit conversations, I think. I think he's pretty trusting of the fact that I won't be sharing his address, for example. Like, I'm not going to be like, he lives right here in the at this road. And anytime like we've talked about maybe updates of like what we would share, he's always been pretty happy with that. Yeah. What about you, Sophia?
Yeah. I ask because I think when I think about what information I share, it's less about safety, like we've been focusing on, and it's more about the kind of like emotional access people have to my life. So I rarely post about Kevin on my public Instagram. Also, my Instagram is public just because I don't really know why. I didn't feel too many strong reasons to make it private because I don't post too much on it anyways, and I don't really have a habit of posting too many personal things on it anyways. And I have had experiences where people who are not close to me are very, what's the word?
Presumptuous, assuming?
Very, what's like a word that means curious, but it's like, they're like snooping around. What's
nosy?
Nosy, perfect. Mm. People who I'm not close with are like nosy about my relationship.
Yeah. Wait, well, can you give context as to why they might be nosy? Like how did your, with like context of the start of your relationship and stuff?
Oh, yeah. So the start of my relationship was made very public and I was not really like consulted as part of that. So someone, I met my boyfriend in this like pretty unusual and like funny way on this Facebook group, Hot Celebrity Asian Dating. And I... my friend was really excited about it and posted the story of how we met, and I didn't review it. I didn't review the screenshots or the photos or the text before she posted it. But this post, I ended up not taking it down because I think a lot of people felt really like happy seeing that. A lot of strangers felt really happy seeing that this accident, seeing that this like spontaneous moment led to something so meaningful, so beautiful. So I didn't take it down. But I think a lot of people, because the start of our relationship is so visible, I think people assume that they can ask anything about my relationship, or also people who I'm not that close with anymore. They don't really care. When we catch up, they don't really ask about other aspects of my life. The first thing they ask is like, oh, how are you and your partner? When are you getting engaged? Or like, you know, when are you blah, 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 next step in your relationship? And so for me, Kevin's profile is private by default and he never posts on it anyways. But for me, it's like, if you want to know what's going on in my life with my relationship, I'm going to make you work for it. Like, you're going to have to go on my podcast and find the episode. If you want to listen to it, great, go ahead. It's something that I've edited and I'm very intentional about, but I just don't like something about, I just feel like very against the idea of people easily finding information about what's going on with me and Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I think that's an aspect of privacy that is really, I think it's talked about a lot on YouTube, like people who, you know, make their relationships really public and like involve, you know, their significant other and all the content that they do. And then let's say there's like, you know, a breakup, then that's all people still talk about. And people are like, you need to move on from this. Like, I'm not with this person anymore. Why are you so stuck in this place when this isn't even your life that you're asking about, right? And so it is interesting how the choices you make to, you know, showcase different people or different relationships can create this false sense or false closeness in a way to the viewer of like, oh, like I really do know this person really, really well. And forget the fact that like, you know, maybe they actually still are being very intentional. That doesn't mean they're being dishonest, but that they are being very intentional about what they share, just as much as like with any other friend you might have of like, there's things that maybe a friend might not want to share in the moment because that's not what they want to open up about. And how it's even more shaky when the creator doesn't know who is consuming their content.
Irene, I know the bulk of your content is vlogs, so fun things that you're doing, things you're thinking about, and also your music. How do you think about the personal reflections that you share? Like, do you share personal reflections, whether that's like happy reflections or maybe like sad reflections? How often do you share those, and like how do you think through what to share?
There are very few reflections, and that's actually something that I feel is a flaw in my work. I wish that my vlogs went beyond like, now this is what we're doing, then we're going to do this, and like, oh my gosh, this funny thing just happened. I wish I could go beyond that. But it feels a little unnatural to me. I realize that actually more and more now that I'm in Spain, I wanted to vlog, you know, the whole process of coming here. I made it as far as the airport. I vlogged the whole thing, like up to the plane ride and getting to the airport here. And then I got really overwhelmed because I'm in a new country. I don't even know half the time. I didn't know how to get out of my apartment building. I was stuck in here. Aww. I don't know how to you know, behave myself in most places. Yeah. I got to figure out, like, where is the line? Like, how do I pay? Is this allowed? Like, yeah.
Blah, blah. And the last thing and you're I thinking about is, like, pulling out your camera to record.
Yeah. Right. There are a lot of, like, aspects of that where, I mean, I guess safety is another one in that, right? When I arrived to Madrid, which is a big city, where there is a lot of pickpocketing. And, like, outright just, like, stealing, like, people snatching things and running, right? Wow, so yeah. I wanted to have my wits about me, and it was, like, really about my safety. But I realized that, like, what I want to make my vlogs better, more relatable, is actually something that doesn't come very easily to me right now, which is processing something that I'm going through right now. And I think my tendency is just to process it on my own and talk about it once it's in the rear view mirror.
I think I used to be someone who was more okay with processing things in real time on the podcast, and now I'm seeing more value in processing it on my own and letting it, talking about it in the rear view mirror, because I don't know, like, I feel like there's just some things that I've said in the past that I'm like, I don't know, like, if I were to go back, I don't think I would have said that on the podcast. And it's not necessarily because, like, I don't think the things I said were true in there, but it's like, well, anything you put out ends up could be a very skewed reflection of who I am. And I want to still be intentional about that rather than be very reactive and saying things off the cuff that I haven't really thought through of, like, do I really, really believe this, or do I not believe this? Or is this like a passing moment situation where it's passing for me, but then it's going to live forever on the podcast?
I think my top request maybe would be not to take it personally if there's something that your favorite content creator doesn't want to share. Because again, as I said, especially in that live setting, or even with content that I post, I don't know how many hits that's going to have later on. I don't know how many people are going to scroll on through. I don't know how many people will view the comment section. And I'm just assuming that anything I leave written or said in that setting can be seen forevermore for as long as I leave that content up. And actually, even past when I leave that content up, maybe somebody takes a screenshot of that comment section. So I have this attitude of, like, once I put it out there, it is out there. It is out of my control. I can no longer take it back. And I'm sure a lot of content creators are aware of that, where, you know, people take screenshots, people take video captures of things, you know, of tweets that get deleted immediately, but it's already all over the place, right? So I assume that the same thing can happen with anything I say on my live. Somebody could be screen recording, or anything I comment or leave in written form, even if I decide to erase it later. And so it's not a comment on, like, or that's not an indicator of whether I trust the person who's asking me. But it's a decision I'm making about whether I want that information to be out there forever. And sometimes the answer is no.
Even though you didn't get into social media until later, in your teens, you still probably experienced a lot of that oversharing of content, right? Of, you know, getting to share, you know, Facebook photo dumps, just like how close-knit your community is, everything, and having a lot of interaction with the people around you. Do you miss at all that culture, or do you feel like you have a space like that still where you get to freely share things with the people you trust and are close to?
I'm not strategic about what I share, in that everything I share, I don't, like, save things to, like, say them later, if that makes sense. Like, I don't have a content calendar even, I confess. But the point is, like, whatever feels true right now is pretty much what has happened or been on my mind in the last 24 hours. I know, you know, like, there were people back in the day who would send Snapchats of, like, really crazy things. And there are things that I just don't think people need to know that are TMI. I think the thing that I most am least likely to share is stuff I think is gross. Like, I'm not going to upload a picture of me just after I've, like, thrown up and tell everybody, like, oh, I just vomited. Like, I think it's gross. I don't want to know if you vomited and, like, I am, like, showing you the same courtesy, you know? Like, I just think that's what it is. So I think my main filter is, like, safety. And then, like, I mean, just some things don't need to be shared. Totally. Like, gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, like, anything that's on my mind, like, things I've been thinking about, things I wonder about, like, it's not made to be lighter or heavier or anything. It's not altered in any way from how it's showing up in me at the moment, you know? I think I really, really enjoy my Instagram as a place where people can come from TikTok to kind of see some silliness and just see, like, everything that kind of flits by in my day to day.
Yeah. You know? Like losing your SIM card.
Yeah.
Oh. That's
wrong. Yes. Yes. But the point is, I think Instagram has been that place for me, especially on my stories, for me to just blah, 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 put out there whatever is happening with the day.
So that feels like a pretty safe space for you.
Yeah.
Free share whatever. Yeah. Share, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like social media has changed where, like, you're more guarded now than you used to be when it was, like, just your friends and, like, family?
I would say so.
Because I think, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's become more, like, even your acquaintances follow you, where before it was, like, just friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Facebook used to be the default place where I would see if we have mutual friends, follow you, or friend you, and now Facebook is pretty dead, so Instagram is the place where even, like, very distant, casual acquaintances you meet will follow you. And there are some times where I share things on my story that I feel like are very benign, and I just happen to look through the list of viewers, and I'm like, oh, whoa, I need to, you know, frequently remind myself that there are people who I've, like, forgotten who can see this at any point, and so I need to rethink. But I don't feel like it limits me. I think it's a really healthy check, and it I really love, like, being more mindful of what I'm sharing. I think it makes me feel more safe and in control and, like, happy. I don't miss the random really kind of, like, TMI photo dumps on social media.
Yeah. I remember my behavior on Facebook was obviously, like, only friending people who I've interacted with, but it was like if I, you know, met someone at, you know, a party and I, you know, grabbed their names, I would immediately go home, look them up on Facebook and add them. And I think what's kind of what realization I had was that years later, I'll see someone's name pop up on my feed and I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Like, why did I add you? And it's like, I even did that when my filter was only adding people who I've met and interacted with. Like, what's to say, you know, on Instagram where it is public and so anyone can follow me at any point, because I just didn't want to deal with confirming friend requests all the time. It definitely makes me more cautious. And currently the phase I'm at right now is I actually deleted Instagram from my phone and I don't go on it anymore for, like, other reasons too, aside from the whole, like, oh, like, who's watching my stuff and who gets to see everything. I feel pretty satisfied with the podcast being the main outlet that people can hear from me on. And it's been kind of nice to lessen the amount of interactions I have so I can kind of just focus on myself and the people immediately around me.
Right. Yeah, there's such a big difference, like, in both of your answers I'm noticing, like, between friending and following or being followed, which is, like, that reciprocity, like, how much am I expecting or is expected with the give and take, and where it's following, it really only needs to be from one side.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for walking us through this journey and your thought process. It's so interesting just to hear how careful and considerate you are. And I think these tips about safety and privacy apply to anyone, not just a content creator. Like, if I ever need a PO box, I now know what to think through to keep myself safe. So thank you for sharing something that we can all learn so much from. And thank you for folks who are tuning in. As a quick reminder, we share new episodes every Sunday, everywhere you listen to podcasts. And you can follow us on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass to see updates about new episodes and some updates about our personal life as well. If you want to play a role in amplifying over 200 stories about Asian Americans discovering possibilities of who they can choose to be, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or treat us to a coffee through Buy Me a Coffee, which is linked in our episode description. Thank you for being here, and we will chat with you next Sunday.
Bye! Bye.